worth it. So you gave your only son.
You gave that I might live. You gave that I might be set free. Let's shine.
You also see my finish. No, not half done. Every battle already won. I can't help but praise you, Lord, for the marvelous
Destiny.
When you delivered me,
marvelous.
It was marvelous,
so marvelous.
And then you changed me, Lord.
It's marvelous.
You rearranged me,
rearranged. Marvelous.
You set me free, set me
marvelous.
Free from sin, Lord.
It's so marvelous.
I wanna thank you,
yeah,
for what you've done for me.
Oh,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As the saints come marching in, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Rather have Jesus. I'm talking about more than anything. Wow. Thank you, Lord.
You will praise God for us in here. Come on, put your hands together in this house.
Matter of fact, I don't know what I would do without it. Thank you, Lord. He saved me just in time. I'd rather have Jesus.
He saved my soul.
He made me whole.
He set me free.
All day. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And I'm so grateful because I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have. Amen. In the name of Jesus, he helped me to pick up my bed and walk. Amen. The Lord told me, you shall live and not die and declare the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. We have come into this house to bless the name of the Lord. On this Good Friday, it's a real Good Friday. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When the saints come marching in, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I heard somebody say, I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he made me glad. Amen. I would imagine that most of us in here got a testimony. Amen. Here is, what is this? This is April of 2025. Have anybody had any challenges in your life since March of 2024? See, oh, praise, but we're still standing. Anybody had any close calls? Amen. Anybody been sick in your body? Praise God. Anybody been heavy-hearted and, and bent knees. Amen. But God, see. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So we here today just to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I heard somebody say it's Friday. It's a dark day, but Sunday's coming. Woo. That great getting up morning. Oh my God. Don't you listen, I already feel like preaching Sunday's message. But we come to bless the name of the Lord. I am so grateful to see the saints today. And you know, this is just a rehearsal. Yeah, this is just basic training. See, because how many been in Revelation in your Sunday school here lately? And you get around chapter 4, 5, 7, and holy, holy, holy. My God, the whole earth is full of his glory. So we come in here to bless the Lord today. Amen. We're going to go through the seven last sins of Jesus Christ on that old rugged cross. Thank you, Lord. And listen, I just want everybody to make yourself at home here. I love it that it's no strangers in the house of God. Ain't no strangers in the house of the Lord. Amen. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, what's interesting is you can have closer family in Christ than some of your own blood. Yeah, yeah. Amen. I believe anybody in here, I could leave at the house here, take the key, we'll be back in a week, wouldn't have to worry about nothing. But I got some kin folks that say, they say, the key? But thank God Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom, and we bless the Lord today. So I'm going to ask if Pastor Belcher would come and lead us to the throne of grace. I love this man of God. Amen. And after that, Sister Jennifer, I call her sister, daughter, preacher. She's going to come and bless us with some worship, and then we'll move forward in the service. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Everyone stand if you will. I'm not a songster, but can I go old school on you a little bit? Since November, I've been kind of... since November, I've been kind of ill, up and down. But the Lord put in my spirit the last two or three days since this holiday. I've been healed by the blood of the Lamb. I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm healed by the blood of my Savior. I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Come on, tell the Lord yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, come on. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love you.
Your son, God. We celebrate that this day. We celebrate, God, your consideration. We celebrate your love and your kindness. God, we ask you to bless every soul today. Everyone under the sound of my voice. Those that are on their way, God. Those that desired to come and couldn't. Let the spirit of the living God rise up in them wherever they're at, God. And let the healing of the Lord be greater than life. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless the service of the day. Bless every man and woman of God to come before us. Feed us this morning, God. Feed us this morning. Feed us this morning, God. Feed us this morning, God. Feed us this morning. Feed us this morning like never before. Stretch out your hand and deliver. give the Lord a hand, praise, as you take your seat.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your presence, God. We thank you, Lord, for this good, good Friday. We thank you for who you are and for what you did, Father. And what an honor it is to be in the room with all of his children who he died for. Each and every one of us, he died for us. We thank you, Father, for saving us from ourselves and our sins, Lord. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the honor and we give you all the glory as we worship you this morning. And we worship you forevermore, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is amazing grace. We honor you, Father, with our whole bodies, Lord, and we lift our voices to honor you and remember your holiness, God. Thank you, Jesus. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your all that you've done for me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, who brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, for all that you've done for me. Ooh. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is this I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, I worship you, Lord, all you've done for me. You paid it all, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace, God. Your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Died for us, Lord. You suffered for us so that we wouldn't have to suffer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The moon and stars. Dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. The Son of God was laid in darkness, a battle in the grave, the war on death was raged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. Could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. 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 Oh Jesus, we sing. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Oh, we praise your name. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We sing.
If you know he's alive, you ought to give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive in me today. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We thank the Lord. You all may be seated if you can. Listen, my old pastor used to say you ought to stop planning sometime and let God have his way. Amen. Amen. We praise God. Amen. So, again, glad to see all the saints today. And we're going to move on in our program today, but, you know, the Lord liable to just move in any kind of way. Now, Sister Jean, know almost every time she's in the house, I'll be trying to reel her in. So sometime be ready before the day is over. Amen. Praise God. So on our program, you may see the front side, but also there's a back side with the program on it. Amen. And our first presentation, the effects of crucifixion on the body, coming from Pastor Warren Jones, and the man is also, his career has been an ER charge nurse. So if anybody know anything about the body and pain, he does, praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask if he would come, and following him would be, I call him the Energizer Bunny Rabbit around 3 P's, Elder Tyrone Bernard. He's going to come with Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And after him will be in the hands of Elder John Collins. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise as the men of God come forth. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Happy Good Friday. Amen. It's a Good Friday. You know, when you think about why we call it Good Friday, because a horrible thing happened on that day. But I want to give you an idea here. I call it shock and awe. Shock and awe. We're going to talk about crucifixion, and we're going to start with 1 Corinthians because we do communion every first Sunday. And when we do communion, we recite these verses out of 1 Corinthians 11. The first one says, he said, after he had prayed over the bread, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Then he goes on, he says, after they have finished the supper, he says, they took the cup of wine, and they say, this cup of the wine is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. And so what he is telling them at this supper is two things. Death is imminent, bloodshed is going to happen, and my body is going to be beaten. we're going to talk about crucifixion. Amen. So the Last Supper story, you understand it. You've heard it every first Sunday. If you're like us, we do it every first Sunday. We know that the first four books in the New Testament, the four narrators, they all mention crucifixion. And they say it so simply, and they say when they had crucified him, and that's all they say. They don't go into detail as to what crucifixion looks like or what it feels like. They just simply say he was crucified. So when we think about crucifixion in Jesus' time, crucifixion was a brutal. It was torture. And it involved either tying them to the cross. We're used to seeing them being stuck with a spike through the wrists and the ankles, but they would hang them sometime. But crucifixion, the victims of crucifixion were designed for them to die a very slow and torturous and painful death. It was designed to give anybody that heard or anybody that walked through the city, because they crucified them outside the city on the walkway, the pathway where people would come in and out of the city so that they could be seen. Everybody needed to see this because there was a purpose in crucifixion. It was for shock value. Romans did not crucify Roman citizens. They only crucified outsiders. Romans only beheaded their method of capital punishment was beheading, or they'd exile them. If you were a foreigner and you committed a crime in Rome, you got crucified. And they wanted everybody to know this is what you get when you mess around with Rome. Kind of like Texas. Don't mess with Texas. So this type of punishment was designed to give a shock value involved. I like to title this little few minutes I got with you, Shock and Awe. So the Jewish law, you know that Jesus was a Jew, but Jews were not allowed to crucify. They only stoned you to death. But the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, Jesus is going to be crucified. So how is the Jews going to crucify when their law forbids it? Enter Romans. The same ones that were oppressing them would be the ones that carry out what God's plan said would happen. So the Old Testament said it was going to happen. So the purpose of the crucifixion was shock, the shock value, and then we're going to talk about the awe, the shock and awe. And I want to give you two facts about crucifixion. First of all, like I said, it was painful. It was the first thing they would do with a crucifixion is flog them. They had a stick. It had a rope attached to it, and on the end of that rope was a ball. And in that ball, they had glass shards. They had metal shards. And they would make it into this ball, and they would beat the victims. They would tie them up by their hands, beat them in the back, 39 lashes, until the bone and the muscle was exposed. We're talking about crucifixion in general. And it was not only painful, after they flogged them, then they had to drive the spikes through the wrists. They drove them through the ankles. Now, just imagine getting cut with just a little knife. You know how painful a little cut is? A paper cut hurts. This went through areas where there were major nerve pathways, and the nerve, just the shock of the pain that would happen, it would shoot through the arm all the way up into the shoulder, from the hands, and from the feet all the way up to the legs. It could go all the way up to your navel. That's how painful crucifixion was. It was designed for shock. So after they were flogged, the spikes were put through the hands and the wrists and the ankles, and on top of the pain just from the spikes, there was muscle cramps. Remember, they've been beaten, they're bleeding like crazy, they're losing blood, they become weak. They become dehydrated. And so all of these things, I'm going to give you some physiological issues that happen. We know that Psalm 22 talks about those piercings. He says, they have pierced my hands and feet. Old Testament had already said how these things would take place. Zechariah 12,
10 says, and they shall look on one whom they have pierced. Isaiah says, but he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And on top of all the pain, the body weight would cause them to sink down. And in order for them to breathe, because you have a diaphragm that allows air up and down, your diaphragm helps you to breathe. When you are in that position, you can't breathe. You have to be able to push yourself up. Well, guess what? When your feet are nailed to this wooden thing, it's hard to push yourself up. So sometimes they would put a little seat where they could sit so they could do that, push themselves up. This was not a seat for mercy. The seat would allow them to breathe, because as long as they could breathe, they'd live. And if as long as they lived, they could suffer longer. So crucifixion was no joke. And the reason they didn't talk about it when they said, and he was crucified, is because everybody knew about it. Crucifixions happened all the time. Jesus and those three were not the first ones to be crucified. But crucifixion was to give the idea of shock. And then so for them to expedite a death, if they wanted to speed up the process, they would go along with a sledgehammer. And the sledgehammer was designed to do one thing. If they could push themselves up to breathe, they could live longer. But if they want them to die sooner, they'd break the legs so they could no longer push themselves up. I hope you're getting the gist of the pain. Why? Because this is what Jesus went through for us. This is what he went through for us. He died. But now listen, here's the thing. When they got ready to break Jesus' legs, guess what? He had already died. And why that's important is because the scripture has said in Psalm 34:20, not a single bone would be broken. So I'm telling you, the word of God is real. And all this, and in all that pain, any of us were, if we were going through a minuscule amount of that pain, we'd be crying, what the Bible say? Isaiah 53:7, like a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he never opened his mouth. That's power. It's not just love, it's power. It takes a certain amount of power to do what you don't have to do. That's power. So the first thing is, crucifixion was excruciating, it was painful. But the second thing is, it was also shameful. Crucifixion was shameful. They were stripped of all their clothes. They might have a little loincloth in the front. That's it. And they were in the middle of the road where everybody going by could see them. It was embarrassing. And they could be left on the road for days, even after they died. But the process was meant to be it was meant to be ugly. It was meant to be give you the idea of what? Shock. Remember that word? Shock. Psalm 22:17 says, I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. So the question is, why would he go through that? Why would he go through that? Hebrews tells us. Hebrews 12:2 says, because of what? The joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He despising, disregarding the shame. He disregarded the shame. He knew what was coming. He knew how horrible and how embarrassing it would look. He says, I don't care. Why? Because I love them that much. For the joy set before him. Who is the joy? That's me and you. We're the joy. But now when we saw, so that's crucifixion in general. But Jesus' crucifixion was unique. It was different. Why? First of all, those that were put on crosses that were crucified had committed crimes. Jesus did not commit no crime. Psalm 69:4 says, they hated me without a cause. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says what? For he who knew no sin was made sin for me and you. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His death was unique because his death was sacrificial. He says, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I have power to take it up again. He told them, in 3 days, I'm going to destroy this temple. But in 3 days, he says, and I'm going to destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to do what? I'm going to raise it up again. His death was what? It was unique because it was voluntary. His death was unique because it was out of obedience to his father. And the Bible tells us that his father said what? It pleased the father to bruise him. It was unique. I am losing my place here. It was unique because his death was on purpose. His death proved without a shadow of a doubt that he loves us. The Bible says what does it say? It says, lost my thought. No, not that one. There was another one. It says God commended his love. You guys should have remembered that. I'm getting old. You should have been able to remember that. God, he commended his love toward us in that while we are yet in our sins, Christ died. His death was on purpose. And I'm going to leave you with this. That shock the crucifixion was for shock benefit. But there's an awesomeness about it too. There's an awe about crucifixion. Isaiah 52:14 says, but many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man because our sin had been placed on him. God wanted the whole world to see how bad sin looks. When you look at a person and they don't even look human, that looks just awful. Doesn't that look awful? But that's what sin looks like to God. It looks awful. Isaiah 54:7-8 talks about it. Jesus was on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? One of you guys is going to be talking about that in a minute. And I won't talk more. I just say this to say, Isaiah 54:7-8 says, for a mere moment, I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Just the Roman crucifixion was designed to send a message, but it was also God allowing that same message to show forth how great sin is and how great is his grace. Where sin did abound, grace much, much, much more abound. As great as the horror of crucifying his son, so much greater is the mercy and grace of God to all who believe, to forgive us and include us in his family of faith, giving us the inheritance of eternal life. And I'm all done. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I know the speakers are ready to come on and bring it on now. So I just want everyone that's a speaker, I want you to look at that clock in the back and say 7. And it's got a start and stop button where, you know, when it get down to 0, you don't have no more time. So like we manage our budgets, right, and we manage our time on the job. Don't even get me talking about the job because some folks, they really knew how to plan the time of the day. But we're going to move on in that order. I'm going to ask again if Elder Tyrone would come, and then following him would be Elder John Collins. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God. My scripture for this afternoon is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. And I just want to read something to kick it off high. Watching that clock too. St. John 10:11 said, in King James Version I'm using, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd give it. They didn't take it. The good shepherd give it, T-H, give it his life for his sheep. You and I, praise God. And as we look at this scripture this afternoon in Luke, we're going to see something here. And look, we're going to set a little foundation here. And it's going to be short, but we're going to move. And in Luke 22:14, he said, saying, Father, if thy be willing, remove this cup from me. That wasn't no heavy cup, was it? But John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nevertheless, not my will. When we are forgiven, we are forgiven to forgive. We don't hold nothing. Jesus was our perfect example. And we didn't go half. We don't even go half to go through half the things he went through. Praise God. I love it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When we up against it, nevertheless, remember that. We don't fight with the flesh. We fight with the spirit. We allow the spirit to govern us, to restrain us. When we back up and say, Lord, you tell me how to handle this situation. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And that should be our saying. Praise God. And as we look at these verses, we look at Jesus hanging there on the cross. And I'm not going to really go through all that, but I see where I'm at. Praise God. I see how it's working there. But anyway, I thank God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Here it is, the people, after they did all this to Jesus, they have enough nerve to go right before him, gamble for his clothes. It's not enough. They whipped him. They ripped his back up. They put thorns on his head. And you can imagine, you get stuck by, like Pastor Warren was saying, a piece of paper. You imagine one thorn, I'd be ducking all the time trying to avoid getting stuck by thorns. But they shoved it down on it. They went and got it off a tree and shoved it down. And the blood was running. This is why Jesus said, Father, if it was possible. My God, we got to remember that. We don't have no time to cry because of things that happen in our lives. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Are we new today? We are sanctified people, set apart for God's purpose. Praise God. Forgiveness means releasing the other person from his debt and hurt that they owe, because Jesus paid the price on the cross for our sins. Man, I love that. Every day I wake up, I say, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for long suffering with me. But the thing we got to do is when we blow it, just repent. And God said he'll do what? He'll cast it in the sea, never to remember it anymore. Boy, look at God. Look at the mercy. We talk about mercy here. We talking about the grace of God. He's wonderful for our sins and are able to move forward. See, if we hold this thing, we yoke ourselves down. You know, when somebody offends us, we can't move forward. We got to first get that right before we can move up that ladder. See, God not going to elevate you if somebody know that you got a high God going to use him and he still only want to forgive me. You see my example? You see, so we have to be reminded of those things every day. Praise God. God showed us mercy. He showed us, he gave it all. All to you it belongs. They hung him wide. And he said, Father, forgive them. Look at the compassion of God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And each time we hurt somebody, offend somebody, it's unto us. We don't understand what he said. Father, forgive them. And that's what we supposed to have, that attitude of forgiveness all the time, remembering where you come from. Remembering the change that came over you. Oh, I thank God for light, because darkness shouldn't be dwelling in us anymore. Praise God. He said, move forward without a weight and unforgiveness. Jesus showed us what love and grace look like. Another example. Let's look at Acts 7 and 59. Good Lord Almighty. Man, Stephen, they were stoned Stephen, but he didn't fight back. He said, Father, don't hold this to their charge. And then he gave up to go. He was free to go home. Peter said, how often should I forgive my brother? Evangelist Camille quoted that scripture. I said, she in my word. He said, 70 times 7. But the point is unlimited. Whenever the need is possible, forgive, forgive, forgive. We got to forgive. Praise God. And lastly, oh, Jesus, have mercy. Father, forgive him. Each day we live, we must lead all into eternity. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Remember that. Amen. Have a forgiving spirit.
If you would you go to Luke chapter 23, verse 32. And there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place which is called Calvary there, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Skip down to 38, and it says, and this inscription was written over him in the letters Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering and rebuked him, saying, Does not thou fear God, seeing thou is in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Go with me with a word of prayer as I speak on a good day for a thief. And Father God, we thank you. The words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts receive today because you are our Savior and our Lord. We ask this in Jesus' precious name and we pray, amen and amen. So when we look at the thief on the cross, we have two. And we see Jesus showing compassion. Even though, as Pastor Warren said, this was a brutal beating he took. If you just think about it and just look at the cross, you will see a puddle of blood at the base of this cross. But yet, he showed compassion. One railed on him with accusations and sarcasm, while the other one looked at him and realized who he was and took advantage of the situation and said, Lord, would you please remember me? Showing reverence. But he had to wonder, did Jesus have the power and the authority to do exactly what he was asking him? And he looked at that subscription and said, this is the King of the Jews. And if he is the king, then he definitely has the power and the authority. So these crosses were so close together so they could look at each other and see eyeball to eyeball. And when he looked at one, he got accusation and railing and sarcasm. But when he looked at the other one, he saw repentance. And God recognized repentance. If we repent of our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and wash us and clean us of all our sins. So we're wondering, did he actually believe? Of course he did. The other one was only thinking about, well, if you are the king, save yourself and come down and save yourself. He had the power to do this. Love kept him on that cross. Love for you and me. And we got to wonder in our minds, what was really the point of hanging Jesus between two criminals? It wasn't meant to show a good light. It was to show Jesus in the worst way possible. But our God had already plans, because in Isaiah 53:12, it said the suffering servant of the Lord Jesus who would be numbered amongst the sinners. What a good day for a thief. But that was year one. This is 2025. What a good day for a sinner. I'm talking about you and me. He took it. the chain, the beatings. He was beat to within one breath of his life. Could have came down from that cross at any time, but he chose to stay for you and me and those thieves at that time. So we look at our Lord and we thank God for our suffering Savior. And as Pastor Warren said, my scripture is 5 and 8, Romans. For God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died. Oh, what a suffering Savior we have. Lord, remember me. He said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. We got to think about paradise. Paradise was Sheol, where one half of the compartment was hell, and the other one was Abraham's bosom. And I think about Lot when he thought about the things that he saw in the city. He was still the governor of that city. But the Lord had mercy upon him. He said, go from this city and don't look back. So we got to go away from our sins and not look back. Because today, you will be with me in paradise. 2025, today is the day that you can be in paradise. Yeah, the thief on the cross looked at Jesus and wondered, did he have the power and the authority to do what he said? We know that our God, who saved us from the uttermost, even to the gutter, he can lift you up out of miry clay because he's a Lord of promise. And God asks that you believe. And today we're standing here on Good Friday wondering what the Lord would do for me today. He already did it. I got up this morning. He already did more than enough. Say, who wouldn't want to serve a God like this? You know? How good is God? He's better than good. He's way better than good. So today was a good day for a thief, but today also is a good day for a sinner. Today, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, verily, verily, today, Good Friday, you shall be with me in paradise. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Seeing that we're compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Pastor said, I got 2 minutes. I'm going to give you some change. Despising the shame, sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Woo, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for these preachers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It gives me great pleasure to bring, I don't know why, she's been Sister Jessie for so long. And I just been calling her Mama Jessie lately, you know. I guess that's just relationship, you know what I mean. Amen. Home time. And so Sister Jessenia Johnson, she's going to come with what Jesus said to his mother, woman, this is your son. Then he said to the disciple, this is your mother. Amen. And following her will be Pastor Shane Tapia, the husband of this songbird over here. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Amen. If you come in that order, praise God.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Jesus' words did not mean, look at me, your son, and what is happening to me. Instead, he was telling Mary to consider John as his own son and John to see Mary as his own mother. Despite his excruciating physical agony, Jesus' concern shifted from himself to his mother and his beloved disciple, John. This selfless act, amidst his own suffering, demonstrates Jesus' deep concern for the well-being of those he loved. Jesus modeled a remarkable example of love, compassion, and responsibility, reminding us to prioritize the needs of others, especially the vulnerable in need of support. This is an example of love and compassion that we should, if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that we should have if the Holy Spirit dwells in us. As Galatians 5:22 through 23 states, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we be in Christ and he is in us, we should expect to see all of these characteristics evident in our lives as we give God's Spirit control. If we believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, and if we confess to love God and he dwells in us, then we as Christians should be showing love and compassion to our natural and spiritual brothers and sisters daily. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's 1 John 4:8. As we reflect on the selfless gift of God's only Son, may we be inspired to embody the values of compassion, kindness, and generosity in a world that needs it more than ever. Let us cultivate love, pray for peace, and strive for harmony among all people. Thank you.
I am so honored to be with you guys. You know how people celebrate the Super Bowl or the World Series and they get so excited? This is my Super Bowl. This is our World Series. This is the redemption of the world. You know, the world likes to be satisfied with things that don't matter to them. But today we get to remember, we get to celebrate what Jesus did for our sin, how he was obedient to the Father, literally unto death. And I get to talk about a powerful verse. When Pastor sent this to me, it hit me because I knew it was God. All right. Because the Lord revealed something so special to me. Lord, I just give you honor and I give you glory and I pray that you have your way. Yes, now in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, it says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. Did you notice how California is a little dark? I don't think that's by coincidence on Good Friday. That is the Lord speaking to California and anywhere else, letting them know, today is the day my son hung on the cross. Today is the day that he died and paid for your sins. Today is the day that he was obedient unto me. And I woke up and I was so grateful. And it says, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, I'm probably going to say it wrong, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I want you guys to think about something real quick. Before the world and the moon and the stars was created, it was the Father, it was the Son, and it was the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, when God created the star, the moon, the sun, he created animals, he created the oceans, he created man, and he breathed the breath of life into man. And who was there? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from man going to the fall, falling to sin, listening to the enemy, it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from when sin entered into the world to the going into God telling Noah to create the ark, it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from the ark where God brought a flood upon this world and he wiped out all of humanity except for Noah and his sons to rebuild the earth and to rebuild humanity, it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the ark unto Exodus where God begins to deliver his people from Egypt in bondage, it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From Egypt all the way to a new king, King David, where God said, I will bring my vessel through this kingdom. I will bring my righteousness through King David, through the house of David. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From David all the way, Jesus being born in a manger, born with nothing, no money, no gold. He was the King of all kings. He was the Son of all creation. Came into a manger. It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From Jesus as a little boy when they went into Jerusalem to give unto the Father. And his parents go 3 days without them. And they say, where's Jesus? Where's Yeshua? And they go back and they begin to correct him. And they say, where were you? He says, don't you know I was about my Father's business? It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus, when he goes and he gets baptized by the Holy Spirit, and as he comes out of the water, a voice from heaven says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Some people thought it was thunder. Other people said, what was that? It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from his baptism, going onto the cross, this is where we're at now. What I'm trying to paint a picture for you is before this world was even created, Jesus has always been with the Father. He has always been with the Holy Spirit. So now he's hanging on the cross, and this is the big moment. This is where darkness came over the land. Now sin is resting upon the Son. Sin, our sin, your family's sin, everybody's sin. I don't take anything away from the pain that Jesus endured physically, but can you imagine the pain that he's now facing when the Father has to go like this? For the first time ever, the separation from the Father and the Son is happening for your sake, for my sake, for anybody that would call upon his name. This is where the pain goes in. This is where Jesus was crying and sweating blood because he said, for the first time, I'm going to have to be separated from you. My God, if this cup can pass from me, please let it pass. So now he's hanging there. And the Father turns his back. Oh, that's what I wanted to share with you guys. That is the word that the Lord put on my heart. Think about when we go through our day-to-day lives, what Jesus did, not only physically, and I'm not diminishing that, but he had to be separated from his Father and the Holy Spirit. And then thank you, Pastor, because you brought in Isaiah. I was like, I always thought about that. I never read Isaiah. But it says it right here. It says that for a moment I have forsaken you. So the Father forsook him for us so that he can be our sin. Man. So, Father, we just come before you. Jesus, we thank you, our champion. We give you honor, and I pray that we know the full extent of what you did. You gave everything up. It was so pleasing to you to do the will of the Father, even if the Father said, I'm going to have to turn my back on you. So we give you honor for a moment. We give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you.
Jennifer, are you sure you were through? All right. All right now. Praise God. Lead me to the cross. Have that been anybody's testimony in your life? Did you find your way to the cross one day? When you got tired of yourself? When nothing else would help? Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have so much to be grateful for. God has brought us from a mighty long way. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know that's not Sister Alde. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Long time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Listen, y'all pray for me. I'm just full. Amen. See, I'm told in Scripture that I have an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. Thank you, Lord. Well, Evangelist Dolores, you know, she was ready to go, see. And the Lord has done something special in her heart, in her mind, in her life, in her spirit, and she's our team leader at Chino Women's Prison. The Lord has blessed us once a month to go behind those walls and teach and share and hang out and praise and worship with inmates who some are doing life without parole. Some have been abused and misused most of their lives and led them to that point, but they found Jesus. They were led to the cross. One woman who said she, when she was a teenager, she liked killing. And now she's the head of the church on the yard. And the church on the yard is called the City of Refuge. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, all right, Evangelist Dolores, I'm not going to hold you anymore. And after Evangelist Dolores would be Pastor Solomon Moreno, the pastor of Fisher of Men Ministry. And we've been friends and brothers down through the years. We've traveled together. We've preached in prisons from Central California, Northern California to San Diego. And I just thank God for him and his ministry as well. Amen. I said I was done.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. So good to see all of you. God bless each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, I had did 6 pages, so I know I'm not going to get through all of them. But mine's is the smallest. It's just 2 words. I thirst. So, you know, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher or anything else, so I kind of like to break down what the word is saying. So I was looking at it, and I was looking at it in the New King James, the New Living, the NIV, and also the NASB. And it's interesting, on 3 of them, where it says, Jesus knew his mission and now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. So that's actually 4 of them. The New Living, the NIV, the Amplified, and the NASB all say, I am thirsty. But the King James says, I thirst. So our verse is, and this is what was assigned to me, John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. So I also want to read that to you in the New Living. It says, Jesus knew his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And then the NIV says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture could be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. The Amplified says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said in fulfillment of the scriptures, I am thirsty. And the last one is NASB. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scripture should be fulfilled, said, I am thirsty. So it's interesting to me, these statements, how they differ. You know, a lot of us have different translations. But anyway, I'm going to move on. After this, the statement where it says later refers to up to this point. So we're talking about when Jesus is at this point where he says, I thirst. And so what I want to talk about a little bit about is what happened before that point. So Jesus' journey to the cross was of immense suffering, yet profound purpose, which he endured. So what is the before? Some of the things that he did while he was here, he fulfilled prophecy, bearing our sins, defeated death and the devil, restoring access to God, resurrection and eternal life. The next point of the scripture I want to highlight is the scripture that it might be fulfilled. In other words, I thirst, and I'm saying this, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. According to the Strong's G 1371, the word thirsty in Hebrew is dipseo. Biblical usage, it means figuratively, those who are said to thirst who painfully feeling want, eagerly long for those which by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. I believe that's what Jesus was feeling at that time. So the question is, what was Jesus, the incarnated Christ, the great I am, what was he thirsty for? Was it spiritual thirst or was it physical thirst? In his humanity, he was the Son of Man. So he thirsted, he hungered, he was hot, he was cold, he suffered pain, he was tempted in every way, but yet without sin. As the Son of God, he was given all power in heaven and in earth. He could have changed those rocks into bread when he hungered and was tempted by Satan. But instead, he quoted the scriptures, Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. As the Son of God, Jesus had at his disposal the ability to call down more than 12 legions of angels in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus also said in John 10:18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. So we see a pattern, and you spoke about it. The Father and the Son are working in harmony. But now Jesus is separated from the Father because he's carrying our sins on his shoulder. Our past sins before we became believers, our present sins, which we commit every day, and every sin that we will commit until the day he returns. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the triumph of God, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Jesus thirst because he ached. Oh, Lord. Because he ached in the presence of God, his Father. Psalms 42:1-3 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so panteth my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually to say to me, where is your God? Is that what happens when we go through trials? Do people say they're Christians? Where is their God now? They're sick. They're going through trials. Where is their God? He's there. He's there. Everything has a purpose. Jesus, what he went through was for a purpose. What we go through is for a purpose. Praise God, praise God. I wish I had more time to go into it. Let me just go to the last page and read that. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Jesus thirsts because he ached to be in the presence of God, his Father. I want to leave you with this question. Do you hunger and thirst for the true and living God? Do you fully understand that your salvation was not cheap? It cost something. Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. If that's you, and you have not said yes to the gift of salvation, when the invitation is given, if I were you, I would run to the altar, bow down before him, and say, Lord, your will and your way is what I would love in my life. I need you, Lord. May God richly bless each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
I'm stalling for time. Anyways, the one that they gave me was, it is finished. John 19:29-30 says, now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it with, they filled the sponge with vinegar, and they used a hyssop branch to put it to its mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, wine, vinegar, it is finished. and he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. A lot of times, you know, that same branch that they use, we remember that in the Old Testament, they used it to put blood on the pole. So something powerful about that branch there that's offering salvation, you know, and that was an awesome thing that I picked up here too. And so many times, you know, Jesus finished what he said he was going to do. A lot of times we're over here saying we're going to finish this and finish that and do this and do that. I'm going to start a ministry. I'm going to start a new book. I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to start prison ministry. I'm going to read the book, the Bible throughout the year. We're always planning, and we never finish nothing like Jesus did.
All right.
Jesus will finish something, but we always fall short. We say this, and we don't do what we say we're going to do. It also says that, you know, that God here has a purpose for us. We're not here just to do nothing. We're here for a purpose, to do his will, to do his work. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." We should be walking and doing great things for the purpose of the kingdom of God. We're not here just to come to church and play do this and do that every single Sunday. A lot of us, all we do is, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, and we walk, and then we go do our own thing, but we're not doing what God has called us to do. There's so many souls, there's so many people that are broken, and God wants us to get out there and reach those people. Let's thank God. Jesus finished his purpose here on earth, salvation for us, and to bring us back to the Father. Jesus said, "It is finished." He fulfilled the scriptures, what he came to do. He paid the debt for our sins and offered forgiveness and salvation, and he did the Father's will. And we know that was all about, because he was always saying, "I'm here to do my Father's will." When he wanted to say, like, man, I know what I'm going to have to go through. The torture that we talked about today and everything, you know, piercing and the hands and all that. He was human. He became human. He was going to feel what we were going to feel. And he was saying, "But not my will, Father. It's your will." He could have stepped out and said, "Forget it, Father. I'm not going to do this." Right. There'll be no salvation. There'll be no forgiveness. There'll be no nothing for us. From the very beginning when sin entered, I'm doing great. from the very beginning when sin entered the world, there'd been a spiritual drought. And Jesus experienced that drought. Right now in this world, there's a spiritual drought.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
People are looking for something to drink, and they ain't finding nothing. Yes. Just like when they offer that, they didn't offer him water, something good to drink. The devil is always offering you something that's not real. Something sour, something bad. And that's what they were trying to offer Jesus. Jesus said, "No, I don't, you know, he just put that sponge, you probably forget it, I'm dying. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm through." You know, so there's a spiritual drought, and Jesus experienced that spiritual drought while he was on the cross. When he took our sins of the world on the cross. When Jesus said it is finished, it is possible for us to lay everything at his feet. What you've been through, some of you have been abused, some of you have been hurt, some of you have been rejected, some of you have been backstabbed, some of you have gone through things that nobody knows about, but it hurts. There's memories, there's things that you can't seem to overcome, but Jesus overcame it because he faced the abuse, the rejection, the backstabbing, the hurt, everything he did, the torture, and some of us have experienced some of that, but Jesus took it for us. You can imagine somebody, when somebody does something beautiful for you, just out of nowhere, it feels so good when somebody just comes there when you're sick and gives you medicine and they bring you something special. We have to know exactly what Jesus was offering on the cross. Something beautiful, something good, something special that we should really realize, God, you are so good to me. I didn't deserve this. When I was messing up in the gangs and selling drugs, somebody told me that Jesus loved me. Something beautiful out of my life. And I thank God for his forgiveness, for salvation. And now I can drink something that's good. Living water.
Living water.
He said, "I'm not going to thirst anymore. I don't have to go over there and drink that junk. I don't have to go and drink that junk. I got waters that will fill me and make me feel like I don't have to thirst for that anymore." There's so many people right now. I have a brother, my first grandson, they're out there still drinking that poison that the devil has. That's not living waters. They're trying to fulfill something that's not real. When you get the living waters, it's done. You're fulfilled. You feel full. You're overflowing. Things are happening in your life.
Come on.
If Jesus didn't finish what he said he would do, we would still be lost. There'll be no salvation. There'll be no forgiveness of sins. So I just want you to know that Jesus loves you so much. He finished it for you, for me, and for those that are lost. God bless you. Hey, I left some change. I left some change. I left some change for the next speaker. God bless you. I'm sorry if I speak too fast. You might not catch what I say, but God bless you.
Amen, amen, praise the Lord. You haven't seen nothing yet. Yeah. You haven't seen nothing yet. I remember almost every time we go to a prison, and we go two by two, you know, and have, you know, one praying, one sharing. This brother will have about 15 inmates around him, and he don't need no backup. He don't need his Bible. He don't need his track. He's out there preaching to them inmates. And I say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Keep on preaching. Amen. That's why your ministry is called Fishers of Men. Jesus said, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a young lady here who... somebody requested that she would share a song. Now, I just want to let you know, this is about the sweetest lady you ever want to meet. And sometimes I wonder, you know, why is she just so special to me in my heart? She's sweet. She's anointed. Full of the Holy Ghost. Love Jesus. Love to teach God. All that's good. But I never will forget when the Lord called me to the ministry. He was at our church. Pastor Jackson was still living. Now, mind you, I had been a deacon for years, and I loved doing what I was doing. But the Lord had been wearing me out about preaching. My cousin, Doc, back there, his stepfather, my cousin, had prophesied that I would preach back in 1967. So make a long story short, it was an anniversary service of all places. And y'all know how anniversary services is in church. And so, you know, my pastor, Pastor Tugler, he would want his ministers to stand up. I'm no minister. I'm a deacon. God been dealing with me. And so I'm sitting there on the front row, and Pastor said, all my ministers stand up. And I zoned out. It was like the Holy Spirit pushed me out of the seat. I'm serious. Y'all might be laughing, but this was this was hard. This was rough on me. But I stood up. And listen here, when I stood up, the weight fell off. Didn't know what I was going to say. Didn't know what I was going to do. But I said, yes, Lord. Pastor, Pre was singing this morning. Yes, Lord. My soul said yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. So, Sister Jean Jackson, if you would. I see the pastor's here, and he get on the keyboard. And whatever the Lord place in your heart, amen. And that'll be our segue into Pastor Tate sharing our last saying, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Amen. Come on, sister. Praise the Lord.
I thank him, I thank him, I thank him. If he hadn't have died on that cross, we'd all be messed up. But he was so merciful and so kind and so good that he took on the sins of the whole world for us. And we can take it as individuals also. For me, he did it for me. And I just want to thank him and praise him. So you pray for me. This song, it's just a song that really exudes the thoughts in my heart. I may not be the best at anything, nor have the best of everything. And sometimes I feel that I'm the least of all. But I know someone who has everything. That someone is my everything, and I'm happy just to know that I'm his child. Oh, I may not be the best at anything, and I don't have the best of everything. And many times I think I'm the least of all. But then I know someone who has everything. And that someone is my everything. And I'm happy. Yes, I'm happy. Just to know that I'm his child. His name is Jesus, and he's my everything. He's the lily of the valley, my bright and morning star. I'm happy just to know that I'm his child. His name is Jesus, and he's my everything. He's the righteous Son of God, my bride. I'm really happy. Down in my soul, I'm happy. From the bottom of my heart, I'm happy. From the depths of my soul, I'm happy. And I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, and I worship him, and I praise him, and I magnify him. I'm happy just to know.
People we got in this place on this morning, this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just happy just to know that we are children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. We reverence God in this place. We thank God for being in this afternoon. Thank God for those who came out with us from Morningstar Church of God in Christ. Amen. to my wife, Sister Gail Tate. Amen. God bless her. Amen. And Sister Gail Prude. Amen. God bless her. Amen. Our own Pastor Tillis coming with us on this afternoon. Amen. We praise God and honor for those who are here. Amen. On this afternoon. Amen. My scripture. Amen. That I'm coming with you. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. If there's a subtopic I would take, it would just be preparation for duration. Preparation for duration. It started back in the Hebrews. Amen. When they asked them to do sacrifices, take your ewe lamb, raise it as your own, as a beloved house member of the house. But in 14 days, you have to sacrifice it. You have to kill it. Amen. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it lets us know that God was now done with animal sacrifices. Jesus knew the heart and mind of his Father. Amen. He asked his Father to prepare me a body that I may go down. Preparation for duration. Right. Amen. The pastor that started off as he gave a depiction, we have to understand that human nature could not have done what he had done. Right. But he had asked his Father to prepare him a body. Amen. When God was no longer sacrificing, was no longer pleasing him, amen, he needed something else other than bullocks, lambs, goats, and rams. Jesus looked on behalf of his Father, read his mind, and said, send me, I will go down and redeem man. He began to prepare him a body. Prepare him to be a sacrifice. Amen. He was beloved of his Father. But it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This was a ewe lamb that was raised to be a family member. That he would turn around and give it up for a perfect sacrifice. We see here is that into thy hands I commend. As I begin to look at that word commend, I'm now giving my body back to you for inspection. We are a culture of data. We like data. Prove to me. Show me. Amen. As he hung on that cross, before he even hung on that cross, he went through various depictions. Amen. Before that, the week before he went to the cross, he turned into a different individual. He was given, amen, the right to pass to be a king. But he knew that they were out to kill him. So he knew that he turned into another beast. He said, guess what? I'm going to ride down the street, into the temple, into the synagogue, on a donkey that has never rode before. You're looking for me? Here I am. You can't miss this. A grown man riding on a little donkey. If you want to see me, come out and get me. I'm right here in the temple. Understand. He was no longer a little lamb. He turned to a position to where he was very forward. And he meant what he meant. He told his beloved disciples, you're going to betray me. You're going to forsake me. He was no longer talking peaceful. This was into a different mode now. No man take my life, but I laid it down. As the preacher said, no, not a bone in my body was to be broken. Yeah. Preparation for duration. As he hung on that cross, you got to understand what he had gone through. Before he even went through the cross, number one, he should have bled out. But he did it just for me. You got to understand that when Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter, who shall believe my report? What data are you going to look at? We have so many people just this week trying to display how much that this never did happen. This could not have happened. They chose this day. We chose this day. This was the day that was given to us to recognize him. No, he did not die in April. I know he didn't die in April, but this was our 4th of July. This was our Memorial Day. This was our Christmas. Why? Because there was something great that happened. I got two more minutes. Let me tell you, this is what had went down. As he began to, on that cross, what he had done, he was thirsty. He admitted he was delirious. You got to understand, he knew what he was doing. I've been to death's door many times with people, with my mother, my father, friends, and elderly folks. I knew, I'd seen people take their last breath. I knew what happened weeks and months and minutes before they died. The Bible said that with a loud voice, he wasn't whispering. He wasn't thinking about it. This was a man who basically was the Word of God. He was a student of the Scriptures. He was more than a student. He was more than a teacher. He was the Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He quoted David, Psalm 20, the 31st chapter of Psalms. Into my hands I commit. In other words, Father, here I go. I know he said it is finished, but not yet. I'm up for inspection. I'm giving you back to you. I'm committing to you what you made and what you have given me in this earthly body. Isaiah said he was wounded. God looked at it. He was wounded. Check mark. You got to understand that when he took that thorn and that cat of nine tails, there was wounds about him. Check mark. He was bruised. Slap, beat, punch. Check mark. Chastised. Beat for our peace. Check mark. You got to understand that the chastisement on the heels was laid upon him with the stripes. God looked at his body, inspected it before it could be returned back to him. All these things, bruised, humiliated, wounded, all these things, check mark. You want data? It's right there in front of you. Who shall believe our report? And who shall the Son of Man, huh? Who shall gonna believe him? The Bible lets you know he wasn't even be able to be looked upon because of the beating he took. His father couldn't even look on him no more because he just wasn't this ugly. He's looked at sin. His son had took on the form of sin and became sin for us. Check mark. It's done. Into thy hands I give my body over to inspection. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. You got to understand there's a check mark. When he looked at me, when I was wounded, when I was sick, weary, and sad, he saved me, brought me up on a monkey bar. Check mark. I should have been took out a long time ago. Check mark. He saved me. Deliver me from sick and sin, entire body. Check mark. So when you look at it, look at your life, where you should have been years ago. Drugs should have took you off. Check mark. You should have lost your mind a long time ago. Check mark. You could have died from overdose and affliction. Check mark. You should have took yourself out a long time ago. But check mark. Why? Because you guess what? God prepared you for this time and this moment. God prepared you for salvation at this time. You could have been like others. Check mark. So we thank God that he took on the form of man and became a living sacrifice. That you, lamb, turned into the Son of God. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Check mark.
Check mark. Check it off. Praise the Lord. And Sundays are coming. Did he rise from the grave? Check mark. Is it a done deal? Check mark. Jesus said, believe on me as the scripture have said, out of your belly. Flow. Flow. Come on, y'all. Rivers of living water. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Thank you, Lord. He'll put running in your feet and clapping in your hands. He'll turn your dark yesterdays into bright tomorrow. He'll make you all over again. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yeah, yeah, God. Thank you, Lord. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all of my fears are gone. Because I know, oh God, I know who holds my future. And I know who holds my hand. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have communion in just a moment. But I would just be remiss. Now, everybody had 7 minutes. I'm going to give Pastor Tillis 2 minutes. I cannot let this day go by without hearing from my brother. Come on, have a word, Pastor Tillis. Let's give the Lord a hand break.
God bless everyone on today. This is a great day. This is a wonderful day. Somebody said this is the day that the Lord has made. And guess what? I shall be glad in it. Amen. We thank God for everyone who's come out tonight, for Pastor Perry, for my pastor. And out of all the things that we've heard on today, there has been so many wonderful things, starting with the introduction. That was beautiful. I'm a person who loves information. And I love, even when you preach, you give me some information. Give me something that I can live my life by. Give me something that'll keep me going down the road. Amen. That's where I am. And so I just thank God for everybody. Thank God for this time. And so I'm just going to go sit down. And the last thing I'm going to say, check mark.
Wow. Somebody said, I've been through the storm and the rain. Oh, but I made it. Amen. There's a praise in the house, y'all. Listen, I'm trying to choke it down here. But we serve a great God. We serve an awesome God. He's a mighty God. There's nothing he cannot do. And today is the day. Elder Collins said, a great day for sinners. If it's ever time to give your life to Jesus, it's now. We're living in perilous times. Jesus, the same Jesus, said that these times would come. Men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Yeah, said be earthquakes in diverse places. Homes, families shattered and battered. See, but the end is not yet. So we bless God. Amen. Amen. A couple of things. We're going to have communion, but I just want to share a couple of things real quick. You notice we don't have an offering. Somebody may say, maybe your first time, say, these folks don't, they done forgot to pass the offering tray. Well, in 12 years, we've never passed the offering tray. We have an offering and tithe box on the wall out there. Ink pens, envelopes, stuff, just whatever. And so people just give as the Lord give unto them. So if you're, I'm just saying that to this point. If you're wondering why it ain't happened, that's why it haven't happened. Amen, amen. Because we come to glorify God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And did anybody notice the balloon display in there? You know, how beautiful everything is set up. Sister Raquel, Sister Jackie, Sister Carolina, why don't you just stand up for a moment? Ladies, why don't y'all step in here real quick? Amen. Unless they're already in the kitchen back there. And if they come in, all right, because also after service, we have some abundaga soup and homemade bread in the back in the fellowship hall for everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So This is Raquel, and this is Jackie, and this is Carolina, and this is 3Ps. We are in this together. Thank you, ladies, so, so very much. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. So I'm going to ask if Sister Mireya would come and assist. Sister Patricia, can you come today to help assist in communion? Pastor Doc, if you would come. Pastor Belcher, praise the Lord. Pastor Warren, amen. Praise God. We're going to serve communion. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe I hear somebody said, I know it was the blood. There's some blood songs around here that we can pipe through the speaker system. Amen. As we prepare for communion. Amen. God bless these men of God. Hallelujah. My cousin, Pastor Doc Dewberry. Praise the Lord. Faith Vision Ministries. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Solomon had to leave, but I don't know if any of y'all saw the artifacts that were set up outside when you came in, the cross and all those various things that represent the crucifixion, and he had to leave, so we just praise God, and I mean, he's a preaching machine. We call him, don't call him Speedy for nothing. Elder Witherspoon, it's so good to see you. Give my regard to the wife, all the family. Praise God. To himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you to come together for judgment. And Paul said, and the rest I'll set in order when I come. When Jesus come, he going to set it all in order. Amen. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let's eat together. The precious, precious blood of Jesus that will never lose its power, that symbolizes his blood. Let's drink together. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get ready to close out. Sister Jennifer, why don't you come on back? We're going to get out of here on a high note. Amen. And then we're going to have the benediction. Pastor Doc, stay close so you can give us the benediction. And Sister Jennifer, if you would, praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a hand of praise for today? All of these speakers, all these men and women of God, hallelujah.
Oh Lord, my God,